Welcome back to the Close to Home podcast, everyone. My name is David. This is Chris. We are so very excited for you to be here joining us today. Like, comment, subscribe. Cool. Out of the way. Great. So today we just want to talk, we're going to get into the Sabbath as we talk. But just to start off, we just want to have a conversation. So for one, again, thank you for being here and hopefully your day is going well. Let us know in the comments how you're feeling, how you're doing. Give us an update, prayer requests,
yeah,
whatever, anything. So before we get started on what we want to talk about today, how has your week been?
Man, yeah. It's been all right. It's, I've for those of you who may not know, so I pastor a church, but then I've also been driving Uber, which is, which is kind of cool. You know, I'm a people person, so yeah. I like it, but it's, it's a mixed bag, man. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. There's been a couple of times that my car has smelled like weed afterwards. I smoked when I was like growing up. And so I'm very, very familiar with the smell. Mm-hmm. And, it's definitely a way of, there have been times it's been depleting, but then there are other times. Like I drove early this morning. It feels like forever ago, but I woke up at like 2:30. I drove at like 4 something. Ooh. And, yeah. And it's been cool. You know, I've encountered, I have this, if you've been watching the podcast, we talked about holy moments and I've been giving that book away to people. So I gave it to someone this morning and it's just been a neat way to intersect people's lives that I normally wouldn't intersect. Yeah. And I play some Christian music in the background and, you know, not super loud, but just enough where I feel like they can hear it. Yeah. And I don't know, you know, if it's having, you know, any kind of impact, but I've really been enjoying that. Cause I, especially in this, you know, when you're a pastor, a lot of times you're interacting solely with like church people.
Right.
So I really have enjoyed that aspect of it, but yeah, going pretty good.
Good. How's the fitness journey going?
Oh gosh. I knew it was coming today. So as we're going to discover in the podcast, mm-hmm. I have been exploring one area, but it's been, you know, one step forward, two steps back.
Right.
I've been a little, not a little slack. I've been a lot of slack lately. Yeah. I did mow the lawn yesterday. So that's at least something.
Yeah.
But, I gotta step back up.
And that's the thing. Like when you look at it, people think that the majority of what your exercise journey looks like is like spent the time spent in the gym or the time spent doing the actual like training and exercise. But realistically, that's a small portion of your day. You know, you go to the gym for 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours top for the hardcore, right? But that's only that small amount of time throughout the day. The rest of the time, what are you doing? You know, activities, walking, mowing the lawn, doing laundry, cooking, you're up and down, sweeping, cleaning, like you're doing something, you know, going from store to store, walking around in the stores, whatever. That's all activity and extra steps. You know, the steps, people will talk about, hey, get your steps in. You know, walking is one of the best ways to help get yourself in better shape, especially cardiovascular, right? Taxing the heart, not redlining all day long, because that's not good, but training, walking, moving, you know, elevating that heart rate, having it come back down and just strengthening that heart. And the food combined with the activities and then your exercise sprinkled on top, right, to really hammer home those muscles.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Yeah. I was talking to a buddy last night, and I know we're not going down this road, for today's episode, but I was talking to a buddy last night whose 65-year-old father-in-law, he was just getting a checkup to, you know, he was, you know, 65, whatever, just wanting to make sure all of his health was in line.
Yeah.
So he got, I guess like a CT scan or something. And they noticed a little bit of a dark spot in one of his arteries. Mm. So they were like, all right, yeah, we're just going to put a catheter in, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was one of those deals where they like go through your armpit or something like that. So they go in and realize, oh, wow, there's 85% blockage.
Wow.
And so while they're in there, they're like, well, let's go ahead and check the other arteries.
Yeah.
And they realize that four are blocked at 85 to 90%.
Wow.
So what was going to be just like a little check and a cath mm-hmm. turned into a quadruple bypass. And wow. I can't remember all the specifics, but basically when they went in, they had to put a pin in his aorta and his aorta was like shredded. And so then I might be mixing up the details a little bit, but they had to do a thing where they stop your blood flow and they can do it for like 120 seconds or something like that. And you still be all right.
Right.
But they, I don't know if it's a medically induced coma, but they put him under or did this procedure. Mm-hmm. And when they went to bring him back, he had no brain activity and the guy ended up passing away.
Wow.
So I was taught. So I'm like, just from a routine checkup, a guy wanting to be responsible mm-hmm. by going at 65 years old to get a little bit of a checkup.
Yeah.
And from that to a little shadow to going to meet Jesus. And I'm just like, and so that's been that, quite frankly, that's been on my heart. And it's just crazy because, you know, what we're going to be talking about today is self-care.
Yeah.
And it is just, whether you're talking.
Keep going. I'm going to fix the light.
Yeah. Y'all
can see the light dancing in the background.
Whether we're talking spiritually, emotionally, physically, it's just so easy to neglect our self-care. And I don't totally understand why that is. I think that there's probably a lot of factors. I mean, it's just easy to prioritize other things. And I think that's ultimately what it boils down to is us having to look at what our priorities are and constantly having to reassess, what we say they are, because probably all of us, if we were pressed, would probably say on paper, you know, something that sounded relatively good, mm-hmm. even if, you know, like, okay, like God, you know, family, work, friends, like we would probably get it in a way that sounded, you know, like something that we would want to share. Yeah. But when we actually look at where we spend our money, where we spend our time, it tells a different story. Yeah. And that's one thing, you know, I appreciate you asking. It's like, that's one thing that it's like, I would love it if something that people said about me is, man, the closer you get to Chris, the more you realize, and I'm sure all of us would want to say this, I think one true test of integrity is the closer people get to you, the more, I don't want to say the more impressed with you they are,
right.
but the closer people get to you, the more legit they realize you are.
Yeah.
Rather than the other way around, which we often find, the closer you get to someone, the more you realize that they're...
Oh, that facade you were putting up. Oh, I see right through you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which unfortunately I've seen sometimes with people I can think of times where there have been people that I've really respected and the closer I got to them, the less I respected them. Mm. And I don't want that to be my story, but it's very easy to let that happen.
Yeah. And I mean, even saying that, you know, we're always the villain in someone's story. So it's like, you can't, as much as we try to do that, and it's just like, you know, we all have a past, we all have whatever, but you know, trying to strive for that, that's a good, I mean, that's just I agree. That's a good way to live. You know, you want to put your best foot forward, but not in a fake way.
You're so right though. Cause I just had an instance recently where I found out that somebody, obviously not naming names, where I found out somebody was kind of bad mouthing me a little bit and, heard it through the grapevine. Mm. And it's like, and it's just one of those reminders that, you know, you're like to your point that no matter that if you try to play for an audience, like I feel like on this podcast, we talk a lot about playing for an audience of one and we're trying to, you know, ultimately please God. And, you know, when you start to, if your goal is to the mass acceptance of everybody,
it's going to be a long life.
Yeah.
A long, tough road. And, you know, again, you know, you can only please so many, right? It's just, you know, just continue being you is the biggest thing. That's when I heard that you're the villain in some sort, right? I heard that a long time ago, and it's like, you know, yes, I get that, right? But at the same time, it's also like, even so, I'm still going to operate the way I operate and just continue to try to grow every day and just be a better person every day. Yeah. You know, you forgive yourself, you repented, the Lord's forgiven you. So just keep it moving.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, it's like, hey man, look, you mad at me because I told you that didn't look good on you, or you mad at me because I didn't show up to an event or something when I was supposed to, and I just didn't. My bad. Sorry. Love you. But hey, you can't hold on to those things. You know, obviously there's other stuff out there that people have done that are a lot more serious, but you know,
one thing I will say on that note though, can we, and this is, I'm not going to get on a soapbox about it, but can we just get better in the way that we fill in the gaps when it comes to when people don't meet our expectations? Mm. It's like the number of times, and I know this, and I know there are other people that need this.
Right.
Oh, so-and-so didn't show up on time. Therefore, they don't care about me. They don't care about, their priorities are awful. They're a terrible person. Yep. They cut me off in traffic because they just are obviously arrogant and evil and woke up this morning with malintent. Yep. You know, it's like there's always gaps to fill in with people. And what it, and gosh, I just feel like the world would be such a better place if we were just gracious with how we fill in those gaps. Maybe there's something going on in their life. Mm. Maybe they're having a really tough day.
Yep.
Maybe instead of my condemnation, guilt, shame, and the way that I want to react to them in anger and judgment and criticism and talk behind their back or whatever, maybe I'm checking in and saying, hey, like, that's not like you. Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Sorry. That's just, I actually finished a book where there are actually, and this is just so crazy to me. It was written by a police officer and there are in somewhere in America, I don't know if this is in Charleston, I doubt it, but somewhere in America, there are police officers where when they pull you over for speeding, the first thing that they'll do is ask, is everything okay? That's caused you to drive that fast. And not that they don't issue tickets.
Yeah.
But for the people who are willing to open up and be honest, they'll issue warnings because they take their job to serve and protect differently.
Right.
And they'll actually like use the authority that they've been given to actually speak to what's actually going on in that person's life.
Yeah.
And for the people who are just like that blow them off, they'll write the ticket. And I was like,
I mean,
wow. The number of times I could have used that officer.
Like, something is terribly wrong. No, but, and I mean, I think that's a great thing. Like that's, you know, my background in the military was law enforcement. So, you know, it's different when you're on the installation, but you also have to know and learn like wherever you're stationed at the local law, like you have to be able to, you have to know that you have to know the military law. So and kind of putting those together, cause you know, not everybody that comes on base is military, you know, you have family members, friends, people, you know, vendors coming through. So it's like, you know, if you interact with people who aren't accustomed to the military, you know, customs and policies and procedures, it's like, okay, this is what happens on the military installation. This is what happens on the civilian side. So it's like, these things you're allowed to do here, these things you're not allowed to do here. So, you know, being able to have that, just kind of build that rapport. And that's a very easy, fast and simple way to just build immediate rapport with someone and just go, hey, I see that you're doing this. This is a punishable offense. However, is there something that's causing you to react this way? Well, yeah, I got to get it. All right, cool. Let's, you know, we got to keep the streets safe. You know, you can't be doing 150 in a residential area, you know, with kids and stuff running around, even though you have this strenuous situation going on. So, you know, we call it officer's discretion, right? So it's like, hey, each situation, you got to use your discretion and say, hey, this is the severity of this situation. Let's handle it accordingly. Right. So that's really cool that I did. I like that. So, but yeah, no, so yeah, that's good. That's good. I'm glad.
If you're interested in the book, is phenomenal. It's called Fearless by Jamie Winship. Fearless. And a counselor recommended it to me. And one of the best books I've gone through recently. So Dope. If you're interested in some good reading, I like it's phenomenal.
That. I like that. Being fearless. So, the Sabbath.
Yeah.
We're going to change gears.
Yeah.
And I see that your whole posture just...
Yeah.
So, let's hear it, man.
This is kind of like just what's been recent for me. So mm-hmm. for the longest time, I'll say this, we're talking about self-care. So I've been honest enough on this podcast where mm-hmm. I feel like anybody that knows anything about me knows that I have sort of a chronic struggle with anxiety. Mm-hmm. It's just a struggle. It's just something that I've wrestled with my entire life in varying degrees. I've taken steps forward. I've done a lot of things, still a struggle. So obviously being somebody who before I'm a pastor, before I'm a husband or a father or any of those things, I'm a son of God. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And one of the things, you know, I've got degrees in the Bible. And one of the things that, you know, I think probably most people watching this, if not everyone watching this, knows that there are 10 commandments. And don't ask me to recite them. It's not a part of the Bible that I like read over and over or something like that.
Yeah.
But one of the commandments that I have just not ever taken seriously, you know, is to honor the Sabbath day, even though I'm aware of the fact that in the original, and some of you guys are probably far more familiar with this or have studied this more recently than I have, even though I'm aware that in the original creation order, God creates the world, the cosmos in 6 days, and on the seventh day rests and set apart the seventh day and makes it holy.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this before, if I remember correctly, man was created on the sixth day. Mm. So the very first day after his creation, he rests.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of different directions we could go with this, but it's recently occurred to me that not only is there probably most people of the Judeo-Christian tradition mm-hmm. would say that the Ten Commandments are a pretty important installment in the Bible. Certainly not something to be taken lightly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not only is honoring the Sabbath one of the Ten Commandments, but it also seems, and this is what's kind of been tricking my brain recently, is like, what, gosh, we've got a culture that is stressed, hurried, fragmented, running a million miles an hour, waiting for the next vacation, can't wait for the weekend, paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And here we have this command in the Old Testament and arguably continues into the New Testament. Jesus certainly talks about it. What if this is a gift that we have neglected? What if the Sabbath is this gift of rest, of celebration, where we realize that we are human beings and not human doings, and an actual day that we have been not forced but invited to participate in, where we drop our work and we take time to enjoy creation, do what refreshes us. And what if we largely as a culture have just said thanks but no thanks to this gift?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what's been circulating in my brain lately. And I'll be honest, and I feel like really guilty saying this as a pastor, but this past Friday, because obviously Sunday is a bit of a work day for me. Yeah. So this past Friday was like the first real Sabbath that I observed, which I kind of have adopted sort of Sabbath light with days off. Mm-hmm. But this is the first Sunday where Friday, where I actually put it in my calendar and I did my best. Wasn't perfect, but did my best to actually say, I'm going to keep the Sabbath day.
Yeah.
And I'm going to explore this art, this day, this thing.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever given much thought to it, to be honest. Like when you came earlier, you were talking about it, I was like, I've never done that. Like, yeah, you know, just never, right. Not really like, and ooh, I want to knock this down, but no, like I just like thinking back over life and it's like, you know, I don't think I've ever taken time to sit down and rest until coming back to the Lord and really going through like some very, very dark places, like yeah. very, very dark and like realizing and hearing like, hey, you need to lean on me. So I just need you to sit still. So for a time I felt like I was just not doing anything.
Yeah.
And I was just like, all right, let me just stop in general and just not do anything. So I think that would probably be the first time in my life that I like actually, you know, my adult life where I actually like sat down and just didn't do anything. And it wasn't saying, oh, I'm going to observe the Sabbath. It was the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I need you to sit down and chill.
Yeah.
Because you're redlining and you're about to pop.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's probably the closest that I've ever sat down and really thought about it and, you know, got to that. But, you know, you saying that, it's like, you said something earlier when we were talking, you know, and touched on it now. It's like, is there a time where you sit down, you say, hey, this is a Sabbath. I'm gonna sit down. I'm chill. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to pray. I'm going to do my thing and, you know, have that time with the Lord, whatever. But you said, is that setting up something down the road, whether it's that week, you know, a couple weeks from yeah. now, but it's like, then the Lord's trying to tell us like, hey, why don't you sit down and take a break? Because over here, maybe later in the week, I got something in store for you.
Yeah.
And it's great. Or, hey, I need you fully rested to tackle this because
yeah.
I'm going to bring someone to you that needs you.
Yeah.
Cause they're not going to listen to anybody else, but they listen to you. So I'm going to make sure that you are nice and rested and you're prepared and you're well read up in your Bible so that when this person crosses your path, you can let them know what I want them to know.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, when you think about it that way, it's like, oh man, me, the way my brain works goes, man, how many people have I let down in that sense, let alone God, you
oh,
know?
Yeah.
And obviously not trying to beat yourself up, but like when you think about it that way, it's like, man, like what if the person who gave me what I needed from the Lord didn't listen?
Right.
Where would I be at?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? In that moment when I needed that, whether it was my mom, my wife, you, like yeah. friends around me, like, you know, just people who the Lord's like, hey, I need you to go step in their path and just let them know that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And a part of that, obviously, the Sabbath, you taking your time. And, you know, we've talked about it plenty of times and heard it in so many different ways. Like you cannot pour into someone else if you have an empty cup.
Right.
Right. So if we're constantly going, and again, in our society, in our culture, we're going 100 miles an hour every day, all day. And you said it before we started, in your life, if you're not actively doing it, right, then nothing's right. It's not going to get done.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, you're saying that. I'm like, man, how many times have I heard this? How many times have I said this? Like, it's not going to get done unless I get it done.
Yes. Yeah.
But in the doing, how much did you go through? Stress, heartache, beating your head against the wall. Like, why is this not working? Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Because the Lord's been trying to tell us, hey, I don't want you doing that right now. You need to take a break. And it's like, on a daily basis, how often do we do that? I mean, check in with yourselves. Like, sit down and write it out. How many times do I have to have my hand in every single thing I do? Another one. Holy Spirit talking. Yeah. It's just like, you know, I've sat down and made lists before, right? You know, people say, yes. Hey, make a list of the pros and cons for whatever subject or whatever, you know, whatever you got going on, you got to make a decision, whatever. Say, okay, if I sit down and I make a list of the things that I do on a daily basis, right? And I'm sure we can all sit down. We'll make a list of everything that we do on a daily basis. And we say, okay, these are all the things that I have to get done. And we'll 3, 4, 5, 6 pages, right? And we go, but see, look, Lord, if I don't do these things, then nothing functions properly. Right? Yeah. Again, we bring that to him and we go, but see, look. See, I do this and that and this and that and this and that. We trust you with the universe, we've said a million times, yeah, but I don't trust you with these day-to-day small little tiny,
right?
I was looking out the window the other day, right? My daughter, we were sitting up in Judah's room. He's getting ready to go to bed and she looks outside. She goes, Dad, bird. Oh, we got like 50 birds in our yard. And I was like, dang. And they were eating worms or whatever, you know, eating. And I stopped and I turned to my wife and I was like, man, is that not a reminder of when the Lord, when we talk about how he takes care of the birds and they don't sow, they don't do none of that. They just go and get what they need and dip out. But yet we, I have to this and that. You can hold on, but wait, I got to go, but wait, right? And he says, if I do that for them, what more am I going to do for you? Like, think about that. So if we need to sit down and observe the Sabbath as he intended for us to do, what grace and mercy and love and compassion and just abundance and everything that he's like, hey, I'm ready. I'm waiting for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
As you're talking about that, it just, I've heard this distinguishing factor a number of times, but it makes me think about the difference between busyness and productivity.
Yeah.
And it's so, and it's like, you know, I'm like, I've heard it talked about before, you know, I think it's the Pareto principle where it's like, you know, the things that we do that are the most productive, we spend like 20% of our time on, right, and the other 80% is kind of like the non-essential stuff. I mean, the Pareto principle applies in a lot of different areas, but it's, I'm like, it's just, you know, when you actually, when you really stop and think about how much of my day today was important, how much of my day today was meaningful, how much of my day was productive versus busy. I know that we all tend to want to lie to ourselves.
Yeah.
And I know that my knee jerk is be like, I'm productive all the time, man. I'm not busy. I'm productive. I'm a productive master. No. You know, it's so easy to want to say that and not provide, you know, real constructive feedback. But, it reminds me of that. And I'm a novice on this. Like, there is a body of I've gone through probably 4 books now on the Sabbath, and there's a library on it, and it's so far more. So nothing against Catholicism, because I don't pretend to understand Catholicism as a whole. Right. I will say, going to catechism growing up, and the limited exposure I had to the Ten Commandments, and in particular the Sabbath, it just struck me as this religious thing that I wanted no part of.
Right.
You know, don't tell me what to do and when to do it and that kind of thing. So the idea, the reframe here that I hope you're hearing is, what if, because I'm approaching this as a student, somebody who does not understand all that scripture says about Sabbath, doesn't pretend to understand it. I am not a subject matter expert on the Sabbath. I'm approaching this more from a question. What if there's this gift of the Sabbath day that is intended, that has intentions? I mean, if God gives a gift, we know that it's as he is a gracious Father.
Yeah.
What if it is this gift that we have been, as a culture, as human beings, neglecting and saying no thanks to, and yet simultaneously struggling with this incessant desire, obsession with wanting to be little gods that are in charge of our own universes, have all kinds of stress and anxiety and all kinds of stuff that go along with it. And yet God is inviting us into a weekly reminder that the universe functioned fine without us before we were here, and is going to function fine with us after we're here. And yet we feel that we can't afford to set aside a 1 day a week for rest and restoration and celebration and the appreciation of God's creation. I've said a lot of Asians. I'm not trying to rhyme or do a spoken word, but we can't do that because we're so important in our universe, and our universe demands it.
Oh my.
I'm like,
literally, like the universe functioned when we weren't here.
It's crazy, right?
And it's continuing.
How did it happen without Chris Russo and David Perez? Oh, I mean, I don't even know.
Yeah.
What was the world doing? I mean, everyone just must have been freaking out and waiting for us to come here because it certainly can't function without us now.
Oh my. I was watching, scrolling YouTube earlier, and videos pop up about the universe and meditation and stuff like that. And for anybody who doesn't know, I used to be 1000% just taken in by that, right? The new age witchcraft is what it is. And, just 100%, frequencies, meditation, lucid dreaming, astral projection, like anything and everything cool about all that, the numerology, crystals, like spirit totems, animals, everything, like all of it. I was a subject matter expert in it, right?
I don't even know what like most of that is.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like all of that. And, the biggest running theme throughout all of that is, you're your own God, basically. You're the creator of your own universe, right? The universe is there, but the universe is there to serve you, and you can pull and you can speak things into existence. All of these things, right? And it's like, going as far as going in there, lucid dreaming, astral projecting, and meeting spirits and light beings and all these things that, they confirm your suspicions and beliefs and disbeliefs about anything and everything you ask. Sounds very, demonic at the end of the day. And I found that out, years into it. Right. Mm-hmm. So beside the point, but the whole point of that is like, you and the universe are one, and you contact and it responds, and it's like, no, again, God created the universe. He created everything. So it's like all of that functioned without you. So you going and diving into it and saying, all right, this is what we're going to do today. And this is how we're going to contact people. And this is what we're going to, like, when you sit down and you think about what you're actually doing and saying, it's like, who do you think you are going in and trying to say, no, I'm the creator. But it was created long before you were even a twinkle in your father's eye.
Right.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like long before.
Yeah.
So why do we think, my goodness, how selfish is that? Like how, wow. I don't know. That just hit me when you said that, that hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, man, the universe was created long before any of us were here, and it functioned perfectly fine because God created it.
Yeah. And it's like, and as I think what comes to mind for me with that is just like, it's as we like pull at the string, I just am reminded of social media, and I'm not against social media,
right,
by any means, but it's like that. Just the way that some of it functions with, I'm going to post something and I'm going to derive value and meaning from how many likes and followers I have, and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, I just, it can just feed that same kind of perspective of I'm the center.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do as much as possible to get attention, when in reality, it's like, people don't think about us as nearly as much as we want, as we think they think about us.
Absolutely.
Even the most famous people that hopefully they realize that even them, like there are artists that I listen to that, have millions of dollars and, whatever, that's hopefully they're doing well, but it's like, I don't really care that much about them. They're not a huge part of my life. I just might happen to listen to their song or something like that. It's just like, you know, I think that anything that we can do, and the Sabbath to me strikes me as a really good opportunity for this, amongst other things. I think anything that we can do that fosters humility is really a tremendous gift.
Yeah.
Because, you know, golly, I mean, when it all depends on us, and it just makes me think that fortunately I've done way more weddings than I've done funerals.
Yeah.
But I really want to live, you know, and I don't totally know what this looks like. I wish I had this figured out, but I know that when I've done funerals, the things that always bubble to the surface are the stories, the ways that that individual impacted the people around them.
Right.
Oh, that's what bubbles to the surface.
Yeah.
You know, and that always strikes me. Or what, you know, I remember distinctly doing and I don't want to like be like Debbie Downer or something like that, but I remember I was a pastor on call at a church. And I was called to go down to ICU. And there was a guy who was younger in the grand scheme of things. He was 60s, but had drank himself essentially to death. And his body was shutting down. Ugh. And I was called down to ICU to pray. Mm-hmm. And I prayed with the family. And he ended up passing away. So I remember I was sitting with this guy's family the next day or the day after, and two of his daughters were in the room, and because I didn't know the guy, I wanted some stories, some good things I could share about him.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, tell me a little bit about him. Like, what was good? Anything funny? And one of his daughters, I'll never forget this for as long as I live. One of his daughters, the day after her father died, said, honestly, there really wasn't that much good about him. So I distinctly remember, now I'm not casting judgment or condemnation on this guy. For all I know, he was, a million things could have been going on in his life. But I think I was in my 20s at the time. And I remember being at the church that night by myself, writing this guy's sermon. There was a collage of pictures of him next to my computer. And I remember looking at his picture and feeling, quite honestly, and this may have been judgmental or prideful on my part, but I felt a sense of anger. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, you, like, this is what I thought, and judge it, whatever. I was like, because what I learned about him is he was into all his toys, right? He was into all of his jet skis and boats and cars or whatever. Essentially, from what I gathered, and again, I am not this guy's judge, but from what I gathered, had invested his life largely in himself for reasons that are far beyond what I understand. And but I remember feeling a sense of anger. Now some guy that you don't know is writing the last formal words that will be spoken about you. And I didn't lie the day of the funeral, but I had to kind of like manufacture some stuff just to not make it awkward.
Yeah.
Based on the limited information the family was able to share in terms of what was actually good about him. Yeah. And so I say all that. The only reason I mention all that is it's like, now I think we need to actually live for beyond the day of our, because, you know, anyone can make up a good funeral. Yeah. You know, I want to live for the day that I'm going to face my creator.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to, as far as I understand the way things work, I'm not going to actually be at my funeral. Yeah. So I'm not overly concerned with what's going to be shared on that day. Right. But I think there is something about that, with thinking about that, that I'm like, man, I hope that people are talking about the way that I impacted them, the way that God used me to be a lifter, an encouragement, a voice of love, of acceptance, of guidance, of wisdom in their lives.
Yep.
And gosh, you know, I think one of my biggest, and that to me connects to the Sabbath as one of those things. Cause I think if I understand, based on at least the limited material that I've been through, the things to focus on the Sabbath are the God you love and the people you love.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's more that can be said about it. I'm not trying to be overly, you know, reductionist about it, but it's like, that's what we focus on the Sabbath day. And it's a sets a precedent, I think, for the week ahead in terms of recalibrating our priorities, helping us, you know, get a vision for what really matters.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, even if you don't even believe the Bible is the inspired word of God, I mean, I can't imagine anyone that wouldn't benefit from this. I mean, there's, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Chick-fil-A. I mean, I think there's a reason that, you know, they're one of the most successful businesses. Yeah. And I think one of the reasons they're one of the most successful businesses is because they they ain't open on Sunday. And
no work.
And there's probably a lot that can be said about that, but I think that has something to do with their level of success. You know, that they give their workers the opportunity to worship, to spend time with family, to go to church.
I can't say
enough about Christian Chicken, but
you can't argue with that. I mean, it's that's good. That's good. And oh man, I just, you know, thinking about the other day I was driving and, you know, you talking about living for beyond our funeral, living beyond for our eternity. And like, you know, just driving, listening to music and just listening to different podcasts and stuff. And it's just like trying to, I struggle with trying to help while knowing that I can't earn someone's salvation, you know? But when you think about it sometimes, and like, especially your loved ones, you think about it and you're like, man, like what can I do to help, you know?
Yeah.
And it's tough because at the end of the day, I don't answer for you. Mm-hmm. You don't answer for me. Mm-mm. I don't answer for them. You don't answer. We got to answer for ourselves. And although, you know, it's a serious reminder of your own salvation, your own life, your own walk with Jesus, and your own like, hey, we gotta, you know, it's still like a, well, even so, let me just try to be the love that I keep reading about in my Bible.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because obviously for some people, they may see that, they may read that and go, well, can't do nothing for you.
Yeah.
And just be like, all right, well, I'm gonna work on myself. And
right.
If you want to come along for the journey, sure, man. Yeah, but you know, at the end of the day, it's like, I still want to be the love that we're supposed to share and spread.
Yes.
Right. And just thinking about, you know, pastoring funerals and, you know, obviously weddings and funerals, but the funeral part is just like, when you think about it, it's like you never know when your time is. You never know when that time's going to come.
No.
So when we don't try to follow, and this has been on my brain all day long. It doesn't matter if you believe in God or not. It doesn't matter if you believe, however the universe was created. It doesn't matter what you believe. At the end of the day, he will return and we have to answer for ourselves. That's been on my mind all day long. That thought, just like, it doesn't matter what we think. You can curse God all you want. It's not going to stop him coming back. Like, it's not. So I say that with all the love that I can and that I know. And it's like, just, we all got to get right. We do. We all got to get right with God. And just speaking about the gentleman who went in to get his heart checked and then ends up dying. Like, that I don't know, that hit me for some reason in a different way. And like, that, again, that thought about, it doesn't matter what we think, or you can sit here and curse God all day long. It doesn't change the fact that he's still there. Jesus is still living and he will return one day. You have a ton of resources, and I'm pointing at my computer on this side. You have a ton of resources on YouTube. You have a ton of resources, books, a bunch of different places where you can go to and get resources and read the Bible and understand, plug into a church and figure this thing out. It's not difficult. And man, I just feel like very, yeah. Anyways, the Sabbath, we need to, I need to do a better job of, like you said, diving into it, learning more.
Yeah.
Scripturally. I'm learning every single day. Again, I grew up in church. I grew up around it. Bible studies all the time, but I don't have like a, not a strong knowledge in it, because I do believe I have a strong knowledge in the Bible. Now I can't quote a bunch of scriptures off the top of my head, but I don't study them like that. Like I read to understand specifically what I'm reading, you know?
Right.
And I take it in smaller chunks, cause I used to do it in just like, let me just read 17 books at once. And then be like, you know what I just did? Like, what'd you learn? Talk to me about that next time. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? That's not important. So, but taking it in smaller chunks and really like diving into like, you know, chapter by chapter or paragraph by paragraph, and just be like, oh, that makes sense. And I went through that the other day. It's crazy how that kind of correlates and right. But you know, just sitting down and really diving in and understanding why we need to do that. Just like fasting. Why do we need to fast? What's the benefits of fasting?
Right.
Things like that. Like, I need to fast more. I know that for a fact. And I need to start doing that. I need to start implementing that and putting that into practice. So if I know that there's other things that I need to do, it's like, why don't we just start?
And if there's anything, and this is one thing that is just always a helpful reframe for me when it comes to anything that we think may be coming from God. I think that I always used to see God as, this is a whole separate deal, but I always used to see God as a distant, authoritarian, frustrated, pissed off, barely involved deity that I wanted nothing to do with.
Yep.
And that's to say the least.
Yeah.
But the reframe is, what if, and I realize that there, you know, this may not be anyone listening to this right now, but I can't help but speak to this person. What if He's a gracious Heavenly Father, and anything that He gives to us is a gift. Like what if, you know, what if fasting, what if the Sabbath, what if these are things that these are gifts that are, we're invited to participate in, that are ultimately for our best interest and for the best interest of all the people around us. And I think that when we start to see that God's motivation is love in all that He does, I think that helps us. Cause I know for me, for the longest time, the Sabbath just seemed like, oh good, another hoop to jump for, to jump through.
Yeah.
And I actually honestly prided myself on my lack of religiosity and God and I are cool. I don't need to worry myself about, you know, jumping through some hoop like the Sabbath,
man.
You know, and it's interesting that in that list, I mean, I don't want to heap any guilt or shame, but it's just kind of interesting that also in the list of the Ten Commandments are things, you know, minor things like not murdering, not lying,
simple things,
you know, not, you know, whenever, mean, you know, these really like, these things like not, you know, worshiping other gods, like these things that we would all be like, yeah, it's a really big deal. Like you definitely should not commit adultery and you definitely shouldn't like go and murder someone.
Yeah.
And then there's this one that's kind of like a bridge that, cause the first, I'm no expert on the Ten Commandments, but the first ones talk about, I believe it's the first three that talk about your relationship with God. And then number four, and I hope I'm not getting this wrong, but number four is the Sabbath.
We'll fact check it.
Yeah, you can fact check it. Number four is the Sabbath, this kind of bridge. Mm-hmm. It's sort of for yourself, for your relationship with God. And then 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 have to do with how you treat your neighbor.
And that's what it says.
There's got to be, I'm not going to try to dissect that right now, but there's got to be some significance to that.
But I mean, hey, love God, love your neighbor.
Yeah. I mean, it's broken up that way. Potentially for a reason,
you know, again, there's no coincidences.
Yeah.
Especially when God is involved, there's no coincidences.
Yeah.
He's got a design and a plan.
And if it, plan. And if we can get so far, mm-hmm. I hope this at least piques the curiosity of any student listening to mm-hmm. this podcast. If we can get so far as to think that the Sabbath is a gift from God to us, as Jesus himself said, that man was not made for the Sabbath was made for man. Mm-hmm. So if we can get on board with the Sabbath being a gift from God to us, a gift from the King of the universe to mankind and to each individual person, how great of a gift must it be if we submit that it's from God?
Mm.
And what could we be missing out on by saying no to that gift? It does, at least for me, that is an intriguing thought. And I don't pretend to know the full answer. Last Friday, I'm going to go ahead and call that my first Sabbath. Because before when I was, I would pay lip service to it. It's like, yeah, the Sabbath, whatever. Yeah. Last Friday was the first time that I legitimately took it seriously and tried and didn't do it perfectly. Don't know that I ever will, but tried to actually do it the best way that I knew how.
Yeah. And there you go. That's trying. Novel idea, right?
Yeah.
Just try, just start. You know, it's crazy how in fitness, right? Because we talked about fitness a little earlier, saying that you use is always either one day or day one. You choose.
Mm.
Right?
Mm. One again, day or day one.
One day. Oof. I'm going to dive into understanding the Sabbath. One day I'm going to figure this Bible thing out. And then that one day never comes.
Oof.
Or we can say, today is day one that I'm studying this, that I'm going to just read with the intent to just learn. And I'm going to start with day one. And every day you just build on that, right? So day one or some distant day down in the future, that may never come. So I'm going to take us out in a word of prayer.
Yes.
Yeah.
God, I just love that one day or day one, Lord. I admit that a lot of times out of fear, I go for the one day thing because I'm afraid of failure. I'm afraid of getting it wrong.
Yep.
I'm afraid of being looking foolish.
Hmm.
A million things. And God, I just pray for everyone listening to this that we would see you as our ally. I think that there are so many of us that based on our upbringing, based on negative parenting, there are so many of us that have been geared to think either you don't exist or that if you do exist, you are not worth serving, that you're awful and not worth paying any attention to whatsoever. And I just pray, Lord, that you would restore our image of you, because the more that we see you the way that you are, I think the more inclined we're going to be to serve you, to spend time with you, to follow you, and so many other dominoes will fall. So I just pray specifically against anything that obscures or distorts our image of you, and pray, Lord, that we would see you as you are through your creation, through the wonder of little children, through the wonder of the things around us that remind us of you,
mm-hmm.
and that you would restore that image, because I think that if that were to happen, so many great things would follow. So I thank you for your faithfulness, and I pray your blessing over each person who's watching this or listening to this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. I love that. And he was talking about social media earlier. I don't have social media. I stopped doing social media, like Instagram, Facebook.
I'm kind of a junkie still.
For my mental, I had to, and I took a break and then just stopped in general, but still, you know, YouTube. So in reference to that, we have 34 subscribers on our channel, and we're thankful for each person who is subscribed. And for those who watch and are subscribed, just thank you for joining us. Subscribe if you want to. If you don't, then don't. No problem. As long as you're getting something from these videos, again, the Lord laid it on our hearts to do this, to bring word, to share whatever message someone needs it, whether it's just me and you sitting here. And the whole reason for maybe today's was just for me and you to be like, dang, we got to, then this we got to do, you know, and sharing that with everyone out there. So again, we're very thankful for just people tuning in and listening and getting whatever part of the word that they need. So, you know, the social media, sometimes it's detrimental to mental health. Sometimes it's not. So you're on it. You're out there. Just be careful with what you're consuming. Music, movies, everything that we consume, it affects us. So just make sure that whatever you're consuming, you're getting the right things from it. So we love you. Thank you for joining us. Go out there. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. I won't be there this week at church. Got a family event, birthday. So go and celebrate some birthdays. Fantastic. But we'll see you in the next one. See you next week at church. We love you. Please, 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 please. Go love each other. The world is just all sorts of upside downs and sideways, and just we need a lot of love. Yes. So we love you. See you in the next one.